This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Have you heard the saying, where two or three are gathered together, there is the potential for conflict? Well, that's taking a little bit of liberty with a paraphrase, and you may not have heard those exact words, but the possibility is there, isn't it? It only takes two or three, and you have the possibility for some kind of conflict. It could be with members of your family. It could be with some people that you consider to be good friends. And it definitely could happen at some time with one or more of your fellow workers, members of your team or organization. You'd be most unusual if you haven't experienced conflict of some kind. As we said last week at this time, conflict can happen whenever two or more people who hold different opinions are in a close relationship. So unless you're completely by yourself with no contact of any kind with any other human being, there's probably going to be conflict of some kind. And as I've said before, it is not unspiritual. It's part of being human. Now remember, conflict occurs whenever people who care have different opinions on important issues. As a matter of fact, the more you care and the more important the issue, the more intense is the possible conflict. By the way, as I have also mentioned before, our friend Ron Kateski has spent a good deal of time with expat Christian workers, or if you prefer, cross-cultural Christian workers, and he's written a number of helpful materials. One of those items he has written is a brief guide to coping with conflict. And again today, we're going to explore some of what Ron has written on this subject. Hopefully, we can find something that will help you or me the next time we encounter one of those seemingly inevitable conflict situations. We've been looking at this subject for a couple of weeks now, and today we'll look at some guidelines for resolving conflict. So, okay, you've had some conflict, or you're right in the middle of one of those situations right now that has brought on uncomfortable feelings of stress. It keeps you awake at night and makes it difficult to be truly effective in your work. And you're trying to find some effective way of resolving the problem. In past programs, we touched on some ways of approaching this conflict problem. Well, obviously you can't solve it by yourself, can you? Conflict is not a one-sided happening. There are two or more of you. And to resolve the conflict, you and the person with whom you have the conflict are going to have to get together to talk about it, to face up to the problem. So let's assume that the issue, whatever is causing the conflict or disagreement between you, is an important one. And also let's assume that you have carefully chosen a time and a place to meet together where you will not be disturbed or interrupted or distracted. Okay, next. Now that you're together, agreeing that you need to resolve the conflict, here are some guidelines that we can find in an account of conflict that is told in Acts 15 in the Bible. This could help you to resolve the conflict that you're facing and experiencing. These guidelines can help if it happens that there are just two of you that are involved, or even if the conflict situation involves a larger group. Well, I'm sure you remember the story. It's one that is familiar to anyone who has read the story of the Apostle Paul's cross-cultural ministry journeys. As a matter of fact, we touched on this briefly last week. Paul and his co-worker Barnabas, after a long boat trip, came back to report to their home church. And right there is something most of us could probably identify with, except that today, of course, you'd substitute a plane trip for the boat trip. When they reported to their home church, there also were some in attendance that were from headquarters, which was in another city. These people objected to the way Paul and Barnabas were doing things, and they did that very strongly. Their objections grew into a dispute, a strong disagreement between them. They had conflict. They had an argument. So how did they resolve it? Well, this is where it becomes a good example for us to follow in similar situations. First, give both sides a chance to present their side of the dispute. Paul and Barnabas presented their position as factually and clearly as they could. Then the other side, those who shared viewpoints with the Pharisees, presented their viewpoints. Second, give plenty of time for adequate discussion. Make sure everything, every important point, is brought into the open from both sides. For Paul and Barnabas and the others, this was a crucial issue they were discussing. It was basic. It was about salvation and what new believers needed to do to be accepted. So there was much discussion. Third, and this, from my observation, is not an easy one, be quiet. That's right, be quiet. If you're not scheduled to be the speaker, then don't speak. Be quiet and listen to what the other person is saying. And note, this is what happened in this situation involving Paul and Barnabas. We're told that the whole assembly became silent as they listened to the discussion. Or as Eugene Peterson words it in the Message Bible, there was dead silence, no one said a word. With the room quiet, Paul and Barnabas reported matter-of-factly. Too often in such situations, there's an undercurrent of whispering in the crowd. And that brings us to our fourth point from this story. Listen. Oh yes, be quiet. Now listen. But didn't we just say that? Well, almost. As I said, our last point was to be quiet. And we said they listened, but we really need to emphasize this. In our example from Acts, we're told they were quiet and they listened. As you've probably noticed, there's a big difference between being quiet and really listening. You can be quiet, but actually thinking of something else entirely. So put yourself in the place of the other person and really try to hear and to try to understand what the other side is saying. Too often, when someone else is speaking, we tune out. We turn them off. We let our minds wander and perhaps think about what we're going to say in reply without hearing what we're going to reply to. Or maybe we just doze off in a long discussion, or we think about some shopping we need to do or something. So be quiet and really listen. Fifth, when someone from the other side is speaking, allow them to finish. As our example in Acts 15 says, when they finished, James spoke up. He didn't interrupt. He waited until the speakers had finished speaking. How many times have we seen situations where everyone wants to talk at once and voice an opinion? And at times like that, no one actually heard what anyone else was saying, did they? So let each one speak until they're finished. Point number six in our conflict-resolving example, keep to the issue. Don't drag other subjects in which may or may not have any connection with the basic topic. The issue here for Paul and Barnabas and the others was whether or not circumcision was necessary for salvation. Well, I'm sure you can imagine all the other issues that could have been brought up and expounded on from the books of the law, but they didn't do that. They kept to the main point of dispute. And yes, this is important, and it's related to what I just said about keep to the issue. Remember, to discuss the issue, don't discuss personalities. Discuss the issue, don't discuss personalities. Next, I guess you could label this as use a little self-control. Express your feelings appropriately. There is no report in our story of any verbal attacks or counterattacks during the discussion. Now, what is this? Number nine? I think so. Apply Scripture. There may be different interpretations, but certainly at least look at what the Bible has to say about what you're discussing. In our example in Acts, James quoted from Amos 9. Now, point number 10, propose a solution. Don't just throw out your arguments to each other, propose a solution. James said, it is my judgment, therefore, that... And they found a solution. Number 11, okay, they'd presented both sides, they'd voiced their arguments and viewpoints, they had listened, and a solution had been proposed. Now it is time to settle on essentials. In our example, Paul and Barnabas and the others all agreed on several items, and they wrote a letter which summarized everything in which they had agreed. 12, getting this far has been good. Progress has been made. Now, accept. Accept this decision. Again, referring back to our story involving Paul and Barnabas, when the delegation delivered the letter back to the church at Antioch, the people read it, and they were glad for its encouraging message. Finally, and this is very important, reaffirm your friendship. After spending some time there for fellowship, they were sent off with the blessing of peace. I like the way this passage is expressed in the Message Bible. They were sent off by their new friends with laughter and embraces all around to report back to those who had sent them. That's a nice way to wrap up a time of conflict, isn't it? Okay, I hope you managed to make notes of those points. They might be helpful for you. If not, right now, maybe sometime in the future when you face a conflict situation. But you say, what if you feel like you're being attacked? Or what if the conflict isn't resolved? Well, those are possibilities, and we'll take a quick look at them next week at this time when we wrap up our review of what cross-cultural Christian workers ought to know about conflict. As I mentioned earlier, this is based on materials prepared by Ronald L. Kotesky.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.